You want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
If there is one thing that progressive educators don't like, it's rote learning or memorization. As a result, we now have a couple of generations of Americans who have never memorized much of anything. Even highly educated people in their 30s and 40s are often unable to recite half a dozen lines of classic poetry or prose. Yet it wasn't too long ago that kids in public schools all over the country committed to memory poems such as Shelley's To a Skylark and Tennyson's Ulysses. They declaimed passages from Shakespeare and Wordsworth, the Psalms, and the Declaration of Independence. Even in the earliest grades, they learned by heart parts of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. They learned the Gettysburg Address, a profound statement of our national ideal. But by 1970, this tradition was largely dead. Does this matter? Should we care? Until recent years, educated people always used memorization as a basic strategy of learning. William Shakespeare was the product of a memorizing culture in which huge chunks of literature were learned by heart. Such learning by rote offers many rewards, including an abundance of tales and myths, imaginative resources that are among the most exciting gifts a young person can receive. Primers used throughout America in the 19th and early 20th centuries encouraged 7- and 8-year-olds to memorize. Well into the 1920s, rhyme time occupied an important place in New York City public schools. Memorization exercises deliver unique benefits. A child who has learned a few stanzas of verse has been drawn into the civilizing interplay of music and language, rhythm and sound, melody and words. Memorization teaches kids to enunciate and comprehend particular English words. It increases a child's vocabulary. And of course, memorization is a kind of exercise that strengthens the powers of the mind, just as physical exercise strengthens the power and skills of the body.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Parents, it's important for the sake of your kids that you keep up with the latest trends in education. That's why we publish the Education Reporter. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for your free copy. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for RBN listeners, you'll get a four-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now, 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cardivite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cardivite.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, and the man who says, you can lead a fool to wisdom, but you can't make him think, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with a country flavor and some common sense points of view. The other day, we were talking about seat belts, and I said, you know, I see people, my own kids do this. They get their little kids out, and they buckle them up in the back seat of the car, and I can't believe you can trailer brake a kid as good as you do. We call that trailer breaking a horse, you know, when they just get in the trailer every time you tell them to, and they stay in there until you tell them they can back out. These kids get in there, and they stay put. When I was a little kid, there's no way I could have sat in a seatbelt and rode from here to North Carolina. I mean, I'd have been in a nut house. And maybe that's why as many kids are goofy today as they are, because of this sort of thing. But I made the comment that my mother hauled me all over the country, me and my dog, laying in the back window of that 42 Plymouth. Actually, it was an older Plymouth than that when we started out, but there was a ledge back there, and old Brownie and I'd ride up there in that back log. Mother'd hit the brakes once in a while, and we'd fly out of that and land on the seat and bounce down on the floor and get back up and do it again. Yeah, Jeff.
Brownie?
Brownie.
Derry Brownfield had a dog named Brownie.
Had a dog named Brownie. When I was growing up, only had two dogs. I had old Spot and Brownie. I wasn't too constructive in naming them. Old Spot was Spotted, but Spot didn't live long. I got Brownie when I was in the second grade, and I put her down when I was 21 years old. She stayed with me through my entire growing up life. So, pretty good old dog. But anyway, I have an email here from someone that was listening to that and said, hey, you don't remember how bad days were back in those days when we didn't have to be buckled up in seat belts. Said, my mom used to cut up chicken, chop eggs, and roll out pie crust on the same cutting board with the same knife and no bleach, and said, you know, we didn't get food poisoning. And my mom used to defrost hamburger on the counter, and I used to eat it raw sometimes, too, but I can't remember ever getting E. coli. Most of us would have rather gone swimming in the creek instead of a pristine pool, but we didn't get sick from it. We all took GM, not Phys Ed, and risked permanent injury with a pair of high-top kids only worn in GM instead of having cross-training athletic shoes with air cushion soles and built-in light reflectors. I can't recall any injuries, but they must have happened because they tell us how much safer we are now. Flunking gym was not an option either, even for the stupid kids. I guess phys ed must be a lot harder than gym used to be. Anyway, speaking of school, we said prayers and the pledge and staying in detention after school caught all sorts of negative attention. We must have had horribly damaged psychics. I can't understand it. Schools didn't offer 14-year-olds an abortion or condoms, but they did give us a couple of baby aspirin and some cough syrup if we started getting the sniffles. What an archaic health system we had back in those days. I just can't recall how bored we were without computers, PlayStations, Nintendo, Xbox, or 270 digital cable stations. I must be repressing that memory as I try to rationalize the dangers that could have befallen us as we trekked off each day about a mile down the road to some guy's vacant lot, built forts out of branches and pieces of plywood, made trails, and fought over who got to be the Lone Ranger. What was that property owner thinking, letting us play on that lot? He should have been locked up for not putting up a fence around the property, complete with a self-closing gate and an infrared intruder alarm. And where was the Benadryl and sterilization kit when we got bee stung? Well, we could have all been killed. We played King of the Hill on piles of gravel left on vacant construction sites, and when we got hurt, Mom got out a 48-cent bottle of McCure comb, and then we got our fanny spanked. Now it's a trip to the emergency room, followed by a 10-day dose of $49 bottle antibiotics, and then Mom calls an attorney to sue the contractor for leaving that horrible, vicious pile of gravel where it was such a threat to us. We didn't act up at the neighbor's house either, because if we did, they'd spank our fannies. And then when we got home, we got spanked again. Summers were spent behind the push lawnmower, and I didn't even know that mowers came with motors on them until I was practically grown. We got one without automatic blade stop or auto drive. How sick my parents were. Of course, my parents weren't the only psychos. I recall Donnie Reynolds from next door coming over and doing his tricks on the front stoop just before he fell off. Little did his mom know that she could have owned our house. Instead, she picked him up and swatted him for being such a goof. It was a neighborhood run amok, but we survived. Not a single person I knew ever had been told that they were from a dysfunctional family. How could we possibly have known that we needed to get into group therapy and anger management classes? We were obviously so duped by so many societal ills that we didn't even notice that the entire country wasn't taking Prozac. Anyhow, I thought I would share that because we survived through all of that. Here's kind of an interesting story. I have just some interesting stories today. In Amherst, and I don't know where this is. I've looked and looked and looked, and I don't know what state this is, but Amherst is a city, and they have a deer problem. The deer are running the city. So the police have set up a bait-and-shoot situation where they bait the deer, and when they come here, deer come in to get the bait, they shoot them. Well, this one fella missed a deer, and the bullet ricocheted and hit a house. The bullet landed in the second-floor guest room of a young family's home. About 10:30 a.m. Friday, her husband was working in a first-floor room of the house, and the couple's son was staying home from grade school because he was sick. The bullet blew a baseball-sized hole in their upstairs guest room window, lodged in a picture on the wall. The Amherst police came to the house, and they were extremely cooperative. The police said that the fellow was aiming at the deer from a high platform, but the bullet ricocheted. Anyway, this lady said, as for her son, it has been difficult to explain what happened. Now, why would that be difficult to a kid? Say, hey, the guy missed a deer, the bullet ricocheted and hit our house. Was that difficult? Take a break.
You have heard it said, coffee is not good for you. Well, the secret of Asia has finally arrived in America. Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb and miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. For all our products or to join us on our wellness journey to Manzanillo, Mexico in February, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. Again, 1-888-841-6055.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world. And Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Stadtmiller here, and yes, I did find the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. With the help of my good friend Robbie Noel, we've started Republic Trading Group, a company dedicated to serving RBN listeners with the best service available.
That's right, John. For the first time, Republic listeners can now buy with confidence. By eliminating the middleman and working with one of the oldest and most respected distributors of numismatic coins in the United States, we can now guarantee that within 24 hours of cleared funds, you will receive a tracking number so you can see exactly when your order arrives. It's that easy. No fuss, no hassle.
For more information, call 1-800-691-7898. 1-800-691-7898.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
And we have returned talking about that Amherst shooting there, where the police were trying to kill deer. They apparently had a deer stand there. He said he was up in a stand aiming down at a deer from a platform when the bullet struck something and was diverted toward the house. Anyway, it hit the house. I thought the interesting thing was, as for her son, she said, it's been difficult to explain. I can't see why that would be. I don't know. He's in school. He's old enough to understand the situation. Why would that be so difficult to explain? The other thing that I think is difficult to explain is, why should the Amherst, and by the way, we've checked that out, it's Amherst, New York, why would the Amherst City Police have to be removing these deer? Let's realize that these deer don't belong to the city police. They belong to the king and his king's men. They belong to I don't know who the fish and wildlife people are in New York, but it's like the conservation department. It's like the DNR. They're the ones that own them. Let them get the deer out of the way. What was the story you had there, Jeff, on the Amherst thing?
Well, I'll tell you, I looked for Amherst and deer on Google.com, a search engine, and came up with 344,000 results. There's websites out there that talk about this problem, the deer problem. This was an interesting stat to me. It seems that in 1996, there were 500 deer-related vehicle accidents in the town of Amherst. 500! That sounds like a lot.
The thing I have here says Amherst deer vehicle accidents total 511 last year.
There was also a caller online who said because of this incident that you read about, the gentleman and the bullet through the house,
yeah,
that they have suspended the deer hunting season there. I don't know what their deer hunting season consists of, if it's in or out of city limits.
It's not the deer hunting season. It's this bait and kill thing that they have going.
That's what they've suspended.
Yeah, the way I see it.
I see.
It says, I don't want to have this unfortunate incident stop the program, Amherst, a city council member, William Kendall, said. He said this incident was one in a million. But, you know, I don't know anything about deer, except I know people that know a lot about deer. And they tell me you can trap these things. I know a fellow that grew up in the Ozarks, and back during the war, you couldn't get bullets. You know, it was hard to buy ammunition, and he was in an area where there were deer, And he could catch them with
his hands.
No, not his hands. What do you call it where you put a where a noose with a, it's not a noose. What do you call that thing? Where you put it up and they go through it and they choke themselves to death.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But
well, but
a,
it is, but they have a name,
trap name for it.
They have a name for that, and I can't think what it's called right now. But they also pick places where the deer jump fences. And they would put sharp objects on the other side of the fence, so when the deer jumped, he would impale himself. And they would have them. But anyway, you know, you couldn't put up something like that because some kid might jump that fence. You never know. Anyhow, so much for the deer. But I could explain it to the kid if she'd let me. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. I never had to explain things like that to my kids. They already knew. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
Jerry Brownfield Show.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Return. Let's go to John in New York. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Jerry. Just want to let you know, when it comes to that Amherst deer situation, Amherst is just outside of Buffalo in Niagara Falls. Now, the reason why the lady, she can't explain the situation to her kid about the bullet going in the house and the deer hunt is because New York is loaded with stupid people. And the proof of that is the fact of where we put Hillary Clinton into office as senator. Years before that, we put Kennedy into office as senator also.
But you stayed in New York anyway.
Unfortunately, part of that stupidity has rubbed off onto me. It must be ingrained into the food or gotten to the water somehow.
I was going to say, you know, it could just be in the air that you're breathing.
It could be that also. But at least I still have a few marbles left where I can still determine the difference between myself and them.
Okay. Hey, John, thanks for the call.
All right, have a great day.
You bet they're all great. Let's go to Chris in New Mexico. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you today?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, you know, I was listening to that piece you were reading, and, you know, if you know anybody that's got a time machine, I want the first ride because I want to go back to that time.
You mean back to when we didn't have seat belts?
Absolutely. You know, and I don't know what made me think of this, but when you were talking about all that, I thought back to when I was a little bitty kid, and I thought, you know, I remember when gasoline was 19 cents a gallon.
That's right.
And I'm sure you probably know it even cheaper than that.
Well, and it wasn't that long ago. Back in the 60s, we had gas wars, and at Springfield, Missouri, I was working, this was about 63, long in there sometime, I would go down to the Springfield Livestock Auction every Wednesday, I believe, Anyway, I saw gas as low as 13 cents during that particular... But that was a gas war situation.
In the 60s?
In the 60s, yes.
Wow.
But my mother used to wouldn't fill up. She always bought 5 gallons of gas, and she'd hand the attendant, and they came out and pumped it, washed the windshield, aired the tires, the whole bit, you know. And they came out and pumped it, and she'd give them a dollar bill. Well, see, that was 20 cents a gallon.
Oh, man, to go back to those times. Gary, you know, a few weeks ago you were talking about that you built yourself a chicken house. Is that right?
A chicken house.
A chicken house.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Well, now, I'm in a situation where I am off the grid, and I thank God for that because I don't have an electric bill anymore. And I'll tell you, it's, you know, you got to be careful, but...
Your chickens are going to get cold.
Well, look, Gary, I'm a city boy, okay? I admit I'm more city boy than you can imagine, but I'm learning. I'm catching up little by little. I was wondering, how do you keep the little darlings warm when it gets cold? Because as you know, here in New Mexico, I mean, it gets down to in the 20s, and every once in a while, even lower than that.
Well, mature chickens don't get cold.
They don't.
Once they're feathered out, they're all right. Now,
really?
It's best not to let them get wet, you know, like in a blizzard or something. But
well, I was going to build them a nice little, you know, a little cotton.
Yeah, but game chickens, I've had game chickens all my life, and I've seen them roost out in trees, and they get all covered with ice, and they couldn't fly because the wings was froze, and they live right on through it.
So what you're saying is I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
No, no, and as one of our callers mentioned when we had Ben Roberts on here the other day, he has these organic egg things, and I asked him, how do you keep the water from freezing in those hen houses? Because he's up in the northwest where it gets extremely cold.
I heard that show.
Yeah, and he said water won't freeze in a chicken house if you got a lot of chickens in there. See, a chicken's temperature is, and I can't remember what they are, but... I think a horse is like 101 or something like that. A chicken's temperature goes way up. It's way up there.
I'll
and if
sure.
you've got several hundred chickens in a small area, why, keep it pretty warm in there.
Well, I was only thinking maybe like two or three.
Yeah. But now, when you go to get your little baby chickies, that's where you have to keep a light bulb on them to keep them warm.
Oh.
And if you will get... some game hens or some banties or something that has not had the broodiness bred out of them. See, today's chickens, they're just bred for laying eggs or meat, and they don't brood. They don't know anything about it. But the wild-type chickens, they go broody, and they set on their eggs and hatch them.
Uh-huh.
And they can take, it can get pretty cold, and they'll keep those little guys warm.
Gary, you're a walking encyclopedia.
No, I'm not. I've just been around a while. You know, it's kind of a funny thing. My daughter worked for a while. She's been in purchasing for the last 20 years, I guess. And she was doing purchasing for a vitamin company. And she was down in Arkansas. And there's a lot of chickens in Arkansas, you know. And she was going to ride across the state with someone who owned one of the biggest hatcheries in Arkansas. And just to make conversation, she said, how long can you keep those eggs before, you know, the fertility goes out of them? And he says, oh, we gather them every day and we put them in incubators every day. She said, yeah, but, you know, how long could you keep them without putting them in an incubator and they'd still hatch? Oh, he said, you can't do that. And she said, well, a hen does. You know, she knew, I mean, she grew up with chickens, too. She said, well, a hen, you know, she'll lay 15 eggs or more, and then she sets on them. No, no, he said, when they hatch, he said, now, this is a guy that runs a hatchery, believe it or not. He said, no, they hatch a chick a day till they're all hatched. Well, they don't. I mean, that is total ignorance gone to seed. But you see, this guy is a college professor type person that's hard to run his hatchery. He'd never seen a chicken out on the farm raise a batch of a little brood of babies, you know.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If you're ever in central Missouri, you're just a skip away from the Jamestown Restaurant. On Friday evening, I like to have my dinner at the Jamestown Restaurant, and on Saturday morning, I like to have breakfast with my friends and neighbors there. Before coming back east, Art and Darlene ran restaurants for over 23 years out west. Their Colorado restaurants were voted best place to stop in the mountains, best sports restaurant, best buffalo burger, and were always given a 4-star rating. They brought their knack for running a great restaurant to the Jamestown Restaurant. Restaurant. Relaxed, comfortable, and family-oriented. The food reminds you of the best home-cooked meal you ever had, and the company reminds you of the best friends you ever had. It's the kind of place you can recommend to others, which is why I'm recommending it to you. Char-broiled steaks, burgers, chicken, chops, and more. Roasted chicken and daily specials will keep you coming back, even if it means going out of your way to get there. Just between Boonville and Jefferson City on Highway 179 in Jamestown, Missouri. There are two ways to do things, the hard way or the easy way. For example, I can go to my neighbor's house the hard way by going 23,999.5 miles to the west. Or I can go the easy way, which is just a half mile to the east. Both ways get me to the same place. One way is very expensive and time-consuming. The other way is quick and simple. It's the same way when it comes to protecting your private property rights. There's the hard way or the easy way. The hard way is to go it alone. The easy way is to join the Paragon Foundation. The Paragon Foundation supports individuals and organizations involved in litigation, education, research, and the exchange of ideas. Get a free copy of the Ecologic Powerhouse magazine and support the Paragon Foundation today by calling 1-877-847-3443. That's 1-877-847-3443 or go to the web at paragonfoundation.org.
Attention small business owners. Need money to expand your business, purchase equipment, or pay down debt, but don't want to take out an expensive loan? Then listen closely, because you may qualify for an unsecured cash advance for up to $150,000 based on your monthly Visa and MasterCard sales volume. For a free consultation, call First Funds now at 1-800-266-1359. You can get fast approval for immediate funding, up to $150,000 without borrowing. This is not a loan and you are not personally liable. It's a cash advance based on your Visa and MasterCard sales. There are no upfront costs, no hidden fees, and no hassles. Use your cash advance for advertising, adding or upgrading equipment, increasing inventory, or paying down debt. Help improve your business now. Don't delay. Get the cash advance your business needs today. There is no cost or obligation for applying, so call First Funds now at 1-800-266-1359. Make your future cash work for you today. Call 1-800-266-1359. 1-800-266-1359.
This is the Gary Brownfield Show, and here's the star of the show, and the man who became a professional fisherman, but discovered that he couldn't live on his net income, Gary Brownfield.
And we have returned. The other day, we had a couple of gentlemen in here, Howard Ramsey and Gary Webb, and we talked about noodling and hand fishing, and then yesterday, of course, I had a different... totally different program, so I didn't get to read my emails, but we had several people email me concerning the hand fishing story, and I would like to share some of that with you. For your information, Derry, thought you might get a kick out of this. Man, what a show Tuesday. I'd starve to death if I had to survive by catching fish with my hands. I have a hard enough time with a fishing rod and 5 pounds of bait. What a skill. Hope they win their fight. Conservation Commission exists only to conserve their own jobs. And you can quote me on that, Brother Derry. Thanks for all you do. Say howdy to your producer, Jeff, and that real cute gal, Beth. He said I have her featured on our web page. You're putting your headset on. Are you going to say something there, Jeff? I really shouldn't have let... Maybe Beth didn't hear me say that, because stuff like that kind of goes to her head. But anyway, so much for that on the hand fishing. Now, here's another one. Derry, I missed your live broadcast today, but caught it later on a replay. I would like to have called in. I lived, farmed, and fished along the south Fabius River for over 50 years. Now, this is a South Fabius, if you remember, that our Noodlers Anonymous said the Conservation Commission was going to be nice enough to let them hand fish in, okay? In years past, the Fabby, and he calls it F-A-B-B-Y, the Fabby, as it's called here, has been some of the best fishing there is. When I was a kid, we would take a seine to the Fabby and catch lots of fish, including flatheads. We had fish fries all the time. Everyone did this, and there was always plenty of fish. Some people practically lived on fish from the Fabby. That has all changed now. Now you can't catch enough fish to feed a house cat, let alone your family. The last time we went fishing there, I caught two billy gars. This big change came a few years ago when the Conservation Department decided to turn three pairs of otters loose at the Dunford area in the South Fabius River. This made news on the local TV stations. Everyone thought these were cute little animals. They must be prolific little critters, as we've been seeing them everywhere in just a few months. That same year they were released, one neighbor caught five otters while trapping for muskrat and beaver. This was upstream, about 25 miles from where they were released. While walking on ice on the Fabby that winter, we noticed a lot of catfish lying on the bottom with just a head and rack of bones remaining. Within a couple years, the otters started cleaning out our ponds. People who were raising catfish in their ponds soon found their ponds empty with dead, uneaten fish lying on the banks. I don't think the men you had on your show are going to catch much hand fishing in the South Fabius River, and the Missouri Department of Conservation knows it. They have done research on flathead populations in the South Fabius. I believe it was in 2002 or 2003 that a large group of their agents and other members fished to South Fabius for flatheads. They had about six or eight groups that set about 100 lines each. They did this daily for a week or two. They fished from the mouth of the river to Edina in Knox County. They caught very little. It seems pretty simple that if hand fishers catch any flatheads at all, that will damage the population severely because there's not many there to start with. That's probably their plan. Let's go back to the telephones. Gary, hi, you're on the air, Gary.
Okay. This is Gary Webb, Noodlers Anonymous. I know they did a study on the South Fabby, but the South Fabby is close enough to Mississippi, if we can get the otter population down a little bit, that they'll restock themselves in a year or so.
You mean the fish will come up the river from the Mississippi?
Right. If you've got a minute, I've got a man here that's got a little testimony that's had a lot of otter troubles.
Okay.
His name's Donnie Cox.
Donnie Cox? Donnie, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've got some ponds. I live south of Chillicothe, Missouri, pretty close to Roach Lake, which is real close to Shoal Creek and Grand River. And I've got several ponds up on the hills. I own ground that comes out of the bottoms up on the hills. And I've had a lot of catfish ponds that I've kind of kept by myself and kept them and for my grandchildren so they have a good place to fish and stuff. And you could just catch fish right and left. I've had otters get in my ponds, and I've had fish everywhere on the banks. They'd eat half of it, wouldn't even flip the fish over, and I guess they'd go back and get another. I got the Conservation Department out. They looked at it. Yeah, it's otters, by the stools and stuff. And I said, well, you guys need to pay for my fish. I said, I bought these fish, and no, they couldn't do that. I said, no, you restock ponds, or you stock ponds and stuff, but you won't replace my fish. And they keep saying, no, they wouldn't do it. But he says, I said, well, how am I ever going to have fish for my grandkids again? He says, well, just keep putting channel cat in there. Just keep putting channel cat in there. Well, it's got a few bass, so you got to put 9-10-inch channel cat in there. And we do it, and we still can't catch channel cat because the otters just keep coming and going. They're not in there. I've had trappers try to get them, but they come and they go. They come and they go. And, you know, they won't help you a bit on that thing, and that's not right. And I've had them, they've got in two or three of my ponds. I got one 3.5 acres. I've seen six otter heads one day down there.
You mean where they poking their heads up out of the water?
Right. So
can't you sit there and blow their little heads off when they pop them up out of the water?
You know, I went back and got my son, and we got shotguns and stood on edges of that pond, and it was on the Sunday morning, real early. We stood there. Finally, I sat there, and I never seen them things again. I do not know where they disappeared to. But we've looked, and I've went down there, and I thought, well, I'll get up in the morning, and I'll slip down there, you know, and I'll catch them. I can't catch them things. I can't catch them there. I'll blow their heads off.
Yeah, you see, they're like beaver. I have so far, to my knowledge, not had otters. But we have beaver, and they're harder to catch than you think.
Oh,
and now I had a fellow that he's an old river rat. I mean, he lived on the river. He worked on the river all of his life. He said, Derry, they're not hard to shoot. He said, if an evening, they'll just come out and swim by, and you can... Mine don't.
These otters don't either. You can go up there and wait and set and look, and when you're fishing and things like that, and you don't see them, but then you'll wait maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or whatever, you know, and I'll be a son of a gun if you don't see him again, you know. But it'll just be.
But you can't raise catfish at all now.
No. We have a heck of a time, and I keep buying catfish and keep putting them in there, thinking, well, maybe they'll get them kind of under control or something, you know, with the trapping and whatever. But we keep putting fish in there, and you can't catch channel caterpillar. You'll get so tired of fishing for channel cat that it's just no good.
Yeah, and if you put little ones in there, the bass are going to eat them.
Right, that's exactly right. And that's what they told me. They said, you'll have to put in fairly good-sized ones. I said, now my dog goes over and kills your chickens. I'm responsible for paying for your chickens. I said, your dang otters have eaten fish that I've purchased and stuff, and, you know, and had up, and I had nice channel cat. I mean, he even measured them. The guys measured them and everything. But they, nope. We're not gonna pay on none of that. We're not gonna get that started. They said. Well,
yeah.
They had a bad.
You know, I think they have been sued a time or two, and I think they're on legal grounds when they say they don't have to pay.
They're right.
To the best of my knowledge, now I know they've been sued on some other issues and they've lost. For example, I remember when Gerald Shepard first got into the buffalo business, and. They wanted him to buy a wild animal, whatever it is, permit to keep those buffalo. And he said there's nothing wild about them. And to the best of my knowledge, they went to court. But I know you do not have to have any kind of a license to keep buffalo. And I think the catfish people went through the same thing. I'm talking about the channel cat people. You know, the catfish farmers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they went through the same thing. They were going to make them take licenses, and I can't prove that. I mean, I could prove it by looking it up. I don't know. But to the best of my recollection, the conservation department lost on that one, too. That, you know, you can... Well, I've got catfish, and I just bought them like you did. Nobody ever said anything.
Yeah, that's where I've bought them. I've bought them at...
These people, that's why I call them the king in their court. They're God. Whatever they do is okay. You know, this like dumping those otters out.
Right.
I remember so well when they brought multiflora rose to this country. Well, we've been fighting multiflora rose for the last 30, 40 years, and you can't kill the darn things. You can kill a rose, but you don't get rid of all of them.
Right.
And it was sure nice when we didn't have any of them. But, you know, like I said, they are God. Government is God. And they do what they want to do. Let's take a break. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual
for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Flood your body with oxygen. Now, why would anyone want to flood their body with oxygen? Obviously, our bodies love and need oxygen. If most disease-causing microbes can't live in active oxygen, and you safely increased your tissue and fluid oxygen levels just like you were taking a supplement, what would happen? Hi, I'm Mr. Oxygen, Ed McCabe, and I wrote a big book about all known ways to supplement oxygen in the body. It's called Flood Your Body with Oxygen, Therapy for Our Polluted World. Get the details at OxygenHealth.com. OxygenHealth.com. You can get Flood Your Body with Oxygen at your local bookstore or order it by calling 800-247-6553. That's 800-247-6553. Thanks, and happy oxygen.
Let's go back to the telephones. Howard, hi. You're on the air, Howard.
Yeah, Derry.
Yes.
Yeah, I just happened to be listening to your show when you read the email from the gentleman on the Fabius.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you tell that gentleman and all the landowners up in that area to call Senator John Cawthorn. We have a bill right now that we're trying to make the hand fishing statewide because we don't want to come up there on that river. And if the people up there in that area that fish the South Fabius will give John Cawthorn a call, because that's in his district, he might be able to do something about this to help us.
Senator John Cawthorn.
Yeah,
by
John
the way,
Cawthorn.
he filed one of those bills, didn't he?
Yeah, he filed a bill on the Senate. It's Senator John Cawthorn.
Okay.
And most of the hand fishermen in the state of Missouri, they all fish a certain area. Everybody has their own area that they fish. They don't go, you know, 15, 20, 40, 50 miles away to fish. Everybody stays in their own area, and that's what we would like to do. So you tell those guys on the Fabius, if we come up there and catch any fish, we're not going to keep them. We're going to put them back so they can have fun with them.
Okay. I appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you, Derry. Appreciate it. All right, bye-bye.
Our engineer just informed us that they're going to be pulling cables. Now, I don't know what is involved in pulling cables.
Lots of noise.
Whether they've got tin cans tied to them or how they do this, but any time an engineer can make noise, they do. They've been, for whatever it's worth, they're remodeling this building. And, to me, it's brand new. I don't know why you'd remodel a brand new building. It hadn't been here 20 years, but, you know, anything that hadn't been around 50, I think's new. But anyway, this same engineer that had his birthday on February the 2nd, you know, I said, if he sees his shadow, we're going to have 6 weeks of technical difficulties. And sure enough, could have some technical difficulties here. So if it gets noisy, just we'll have to just suffer through it. The government is still hell-bent for election on these animal IDs. Now, in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and two Mexico states, I'm assuming they're talking about down south of the border, are going to have this trinational livestock health and identification consortium. It's an initiative created by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it's a pilot program. It involves, again, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and two states south of the border. It is a voluntary animal identification program which, and they even tell you this, which will eventually become federally mandated. They want to know, and I say, who is they? The packers want to know where every animal is, when it was born, how old it is, and once they get all this on a database, hey, the packers are going to know more about our livestock than we do. They say, though, that they're even going to include in this horses, llamas, and camels, for whatever that's worth. When we come back, should people that are offered a job that are on the welfare system be forced to take the job? Stay tuned. You might change your opinion. I don't know.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Derry Brownfield here to tell you why the Aeronizer is the most advanced air purifier available. What the Aeronizer does, it puts out higher forms of energized oxygen into the air, which oxidizes pollutants. It actually destroys airborne particles and removes them from the air that you breathe. The Aeronizer destroys viruses, bacteria, molds, and pollens. I mean, it kills them dead, making your indoor environment healthier and safer. The Aeronizer literally reaches into carpets, furniture, drapes, clothing, and porous materials to remove cooking, pet, and smoke odors. The Aeronizer is a safe, effective, and affordable solution to unleashing the natural purifying power of oxygen to not filter, but actually purify the air. To get the Aeronizer, call toll-free 1-877-605-9200. That's 1-877-605-9200. Or go online at www.aranair.us. This coming Saturday, February the 12th, Wendell Fleshman will be holding a special bred cow, cow-calf pair, bred heifer, and bull sale at the Milan, Missouri Livestock Auction. Now, Wendell has a nice run of cows consigned to sell this Saturday, including a 60-head string of fancy Angus 3 to 4-year-old heifers. They're bred to Angus bulls, and they'll start calving in March. Here's a 50-head string of 4 to 6-year-old black and black baldies. Now, these are open cows, but a 77-head string of fancy Angus heifers. They're going to average around 1,100 pounds, and they're bred to registered Angus bulls, and they'll be calving in March. A 50-head consignment of 4 to 7-year-olds bred to Angus bulls will begin calving in February. And here's a 30-head offering of red Angus cows bred to red Angus bulls. They, too, will be March calvers. 25-head of red Solaire cows bred to Charolais bulls, heavy springer. Several lots of good young offerings that are calving now. That's for the special bred cow and heifer sale coming up this Saturday, February the 12th, at the Milan, Missouri Auction. Turned. We're in the home stretch here. Now, should people that are on welfare, when they are offered a job, be forced to take it? Well, a lot of folks say, you betcha they need to work for a living. That's scriptural. Paul said that. He said he worked the whole time he was there, and everybody else ought to have to work. He didn't want to owe anybody anything. Well, the German welfare system is forcing out-of-work people to choose between taking a job or losing their unemployment benefits. Germany's unemployment program has been reformed to require those out of work to take jobs for which they are qualified. Now, you got to hang on to this qualified business, okay? Or lose their benefits. In the case of women, females below the age of 55 who have been out of work for a year or more must take any available job offered. The full legalization of prostitution 2 years ago, with brothel owners now paying taxes and employee health insurance, has created a situation at German job centers where employees can access the official government database for those seeking work. There is now nothing in the law to stop women from being sent into the sex industry. The new regulations say that working in the sex industry is not immoral anymore, and so jobs cannot be turned down without a risk to the benefits. Women who have past experience as telemarketers or call service workers have been offered positions with telephone sex service organizations. When the German government crafted the recent welfare reforms, brothels were initially considered for exclusion, but they were believed too difficult to distinguish from bars. Their inquiries for potential workers are treated no differently than those from grocery stores. The German experience closely follows that of the Netherlands. Following the year 2000, legalization for prostitution by the Dutch and the registration of prostitutes, brothels begin using official job centers to find new employees. Prostitution is no longer considered by law to be immoral. You probably didn't know that, but then let's realize that there are a lot of things that are considered by the Supreme Court here in the United States to be no longer immoral. Anyway, last year the German federal government announced that it would be fining employees that fail to hire trainees. So, anywho, if you are a female in Germany, under 55 years of age, been out of work for at least a year, and they offer you a job, you're either going to have to take it or lose your benefits. Jeff is going to be filling in for me tomorrow. Jeff, do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners?
No, but Joel Skousen will. Joel is a regular,
oh, really?
Sometimes guest here and there, does World Affairs Brief, and he has agreed to be our guest on the Derry Brownfield Show tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
You know, you have him when I'm gone. I've never had him on the air, but this guy, he writes some really good stuff.
He really does. He did a piece-by-piece dissection of the inauguration speech and the State of the Union stuff, and he's got some good stuff on the recent issue of Popular Mechanics. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Popular Mechanics, more like Popular Politics in the latest March 2005 issue, and Joel's got an interesting take on that. But you're going to be having cowboy fun. I wish I could go with you,
oh,
Derry.
Oh, I'll bet you do.
I really do.
Hey, it's mud. We're in mud up to a horse's knees, literally. And we're going to try to move some cows tomorrow. I say try. I know you don't say try. We are going to move some cows tomorrow, but we might have to do it with a tractor and trailer instead of a pickup and gooseneck. I don't know, but we'll get the job done. Anyhow, may the good Lord bless and keep you while the near or far away. May the good you wish for others shine on you today. May your heart stay tuned to music that will cheer the hearts of men. May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making
using bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.